Chapter 14. After repairs. Sailed at 9 p.m. last night, and we are now 17 miles off Beachy Head. The Straits of Dover were frightful. The glare of the acetylene flares on the barrage showed 4 miles. I dived and went through with the tide at a depth of 40 meters. 2 hours and 45 minutes of suspense, and at dawn we came up, having passed safely through the Great Death Trap. At the moment there is nothing in sight, except a little smoke on the horizon. I am going to dive again till dusk. 2 a.m. We are thrashing down the channel with a southwesterly wind. My instructions are to work for 2 days between the Lizard and Kinsale Head, then proceed far out in the Atlantic, where the convoys are supposed to meet the destroyers. As I sit in this steel, cigar-shaped mass of machinery, the question rings in my ears, to what object is all this war directed, from the point of view of the individual? The world must be mad. I cannot see how it can ever stop. England will never be defeated at sea. We shall conquer on land. Then what? An inconclusive peace. Even if we smash this island empire, and gain the dominion of the world, how will it advantage me? Do I exist for my country, or does my country exist for me? Does not my country exist for my benefit? It is all madness. In position on the Bristol line of approach, the weather is bad. At 20 meters. Yesterday afternoon at 5 p.m. we sighted a small steamer flying Spanish colors and steering for Cardiff. The weather was choppy, but not too bad, and I decided to exercise the gun's crew. I opened fire at 6,000 meters, and pitched a shell ahead of her, and ran up the signal to heave to. The wretched little craft paid no attention, and continued on her lumbering course. I suspected the presence of an Englishman on her bridge, and determined to hit. This we did with our 6th shot, and she stopped dead and wallowed in the trough, with clouds of steam pouring out of her engine room. We had got the engine room. As we closed her, a tremendous panic was taking place on board. The port sea boat was being launched, but one fall broke, and the occupants fell into the water. My navigator begged me to give her another, which I did, and hit her right aft. 2 boatloads of gesticulating individuals now appeared from the shelter of her lee side, and began pulling wildly away from the ship. We had approached to within about 400 meters of her port bow. A fire had broken out aft. As I watched her, I was startled to hear 3 or 4 reports from the region of the fire. Ammunition! Shouted the pilot, with wide-open eyes. I realized our deadly peril. She was a decoy ship. As we began to move forward under the motors, a trapdoor near her bows fell down, the white ensign was broken at the fore, and a 4-inch gun opened fire from the embrasure that was revealed on her side. We were fortunate in that our conning tower was already right ahead of the enemy, and as I dropped down into the conning tower, I saw that as she could not turn we were safe. A few shells plunged harmlessly into the water near our stern, and then we were under. They were 50 miles off the shore when I left them, and it blew force 6 a few hours afterwards. We are now steering due west to our 2nd position. Received orders last night to return to base on the North Sea around Scotland. I have shaped course to pass 50 miles north of Muckle Flugga. No more Fair Island Channel for me. Stat landlet in sight, with the Norwegian coast looking lovely under the snow. We never saw a ship from north of the Shetlands to this place, when we saw a light cruiser of the town class steaming southwest at high speed. As he had been on patrol off this place, where the inner and outer leads join up, and ships have to leave the 3-mile limit. She was well away from me, and an attack would have been useless. We are due off the mole at 8 p.m. tonight. Diary of a U-boat commander.